It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
Vishal is back from a pretty lavish wedding at Jaipur, Vishal.
Absolutely.
Five-day break, but you still did waste some bandwidth and data following last weekend's action.
You all not, will not believe this. I was at the Sangeet party streaming Hotstar on my phone and watching United Liverpool. I did not move from the spot because that was the best spot for network. And I was like, no, I'm not moving. If anybody asked me what I was doing, I said I was making the video.
But even if you were making the video, there weren't too many highlights there because it turned out to be a nil-nil draw. A very cagey nil-nil draw, and that's where we'll begin from, Vishal, because we want to get to the midweek action, but not before talking about what could be a pivotal result.
Absolutely.
For the title race.
Yep. And like you mentioned earlier in the season, Liverpool are officially title contenders when they can start going to a place like Old Trafford and the top teams and start winning and not just scraping through and winning comprehensively, right? And this was actually one of those games which presented itself ever so well for Liverpool to take advantage of, with United losing three players in 41 minutes and three very good players. These weren't even makeshift players. These are three players who made a great impact since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has taken over. And Liverpool pretty much coasted the entire game. They really did not seem to have the drive to go after. And on all honesty, I thought it was a moral victory for United, because with that team to go out there and hold Liverpool out and not give them a decent chance even, and to really pull off the draw, was a great result for United, and it was a moral victory, and it showed, right? Like the way they carried themselves forward to midweek was a result of exactly that. The morale was high, the players were happy, and it showed. And Liverpool actually have now put themselves in a situation where they have zero margin for error, because now the lead is down to 1 point, and they pretty much have to play Tottenham and Chelsea going forward, and City have an easier round of fixtures coming up, and so Liverpool are going to have to be on top of the game, every game till the end of the season now.
And let's talk about Jurgen Klopp's tactics here, because we both felt, you from a United point of view, me from a Liverpool point of view, that he got the tactics spectacularly wrong as far as that game went.
Yep. I think that I'm starting to see a little bit of a trend here. Jurgen Klopp is trying to make sure that he does not really lose the balance in squad, and is far too often stopping himself from putting his best 11 out there, or keeping his best 11 on the field for the required amount of time in big games against big teams. And the perfect example of this game was taking off Mo Salah in the 65th or the 67th minute. And I did not understand it. I'm a United fan. I actually celebrated that sub, not because played that. Doesn't matter, because Mo Salah does not need 90 good minutes to impact the game. Mo Salah actually just needs that one moment, because he's all about his position. He's all about taking the right position at the right time and scoring the goal. And considering the amount of work that Luke Shaw was putting in, and with Trent Alexander and also running at Luke Shaw, I would have definitely kept Mo Salah on for the 90 minutes. And if you really think about this, a very interesting stat is Mo Salah's average substitution time this season has been the 72nd minute. And that's possibly points dropped by Liverpool. That's possibly goals dropped by Liverpool, because like I said, Mo Salah cannot be measured by the amount of impact he has in 90 minutes. Mo Salah can easily fade in and fade out of games, but he can actually, in those momentary, in those moments of brilliance, he actually scores and makes a lot of difference. So, and his midfield, of course, it was again below par, because Pogba did boss Liverpool's midfield single-handedly almost. And in a game like this, United had the best chance. Liverpool actually almost let United steal this game and get away 3 points, but instead got away with 1 point. So Klopp really needs to revisit his 11, and I think it's really, really time Klopp stuck to 11, right? Because his shuffling, his tinkering is really not allowing his team to settle. Because, for example, Wijnaldum has been having a great 4-5 weeks, but it is not necessary that he starts the next game. It is not necessary he plays the right position the next game. So the consistency that really needs to come, and he needs to learn from Pep Guardiola, right? Like, there is a certain core of the team that does not change no matter what, who the game and what the game is. And he really needs to identify who the core of his team at this point is, because defensively they're sorted, midfield wise he still does not know what his best midfield is. So Klopp needs to do a little bit of thinking and a little bit of introspection and figure out how he needs to do this.
Because he has 10 massive games coming up that are going to decide the fate of this title race. On to the midweek games, Vishal. And the midweek games for the top of the title race weren't much of a surprise. Liverpool at home have been tremendous. You just mentioned their defense and their back three, who contributed humongously to that absolute dismantling of Watford. Although the front three were sort of cold again. Salah had a shot off the post, but generally seemed to lack that edge. Interestingly, you observed something about Manchester City's approach against West Ham that that you thought was more appropriate of this marathon that is the title race.
Absolutely, because one, Man City have already done something brilliant by going and defending the Carling Cup, the Carabao Cup successfully. I have such massive respect for what Pep Guardiola has done in the Carabao Cup, because he's made it relevant this season because of the teams he's put out, and how seriously he's taken it about winning it again. So if you they already have a trophy to show for this season, right? So that in itself, that 120-minute shift that the players put in, and he almost put out the same 11 to start to play against West Ham. By he could have tinkered and he could have made a few changes. He put his best. He almost put his best 11, barring the injuries out there. And he tried to win this game early. He really did try to win the game early. But from post 10-15 minutes, he saw that his players were fading out of the game because of the shift that they had put in. And he really, really changed his approach to the game. He really suddenly changed the system, changed the tactics to really steal this game, right? He did not want to dominate. He did not want to make a statement. He realized that this is about getting the 3 points and not dropping points. And that's exactly what he did. Yes, they did win a penalty. But that's all they need in a game like this, where the 1-0 win. And there's a couple of notes that Klopp can really make from the way Pep Guardiola managed the game against West Ham.
And amazingly, this was something Klopp was doing early in the season. He seems to have sort of gone away from that playbook now. But besides the title race, the thing that really caught our attention and the things that we want to talk about in the second half of this podcast is one particular result, and that result was Chelsea 2, Tottenham 0. Including an absolutely spectacular own goal of the season from Kieran Trippier. We have talked about the Spurs narrative for so long, and it kind of comes to a head now heading into the weekend. It is, from a narrative point of view, so deliciously poised, because they are facing Arsenal in the North London Derby. And if Arsenal manage to beat them, the difference between the two teams is down to 1 point, and suddenly St. Tottenham's day becomes a potential reality.
So I have a new theory on Spurs, right? And I think we all have really got Spurs wrong. And while we've been making fun of Spurs, I really think we got Spurs wrong, because, in a group of friends, you always have that one friend who's always going to make you feel better about yourself when you're down in the dumps. And Spurs are that, right? Because think about this. Arsenal, when the season began, they had a rough start to the season. Then came the North London Derby at the Emirates, and Spurs let Arsenal win. United post Solskjaer's hiring, were not sure if United and Solskjaer had it in them to really go out there and beat the big team. Guess what happened? Spurs lost to United. And now Chelsea, who everybody's taking for granted, who everybody's beating at this point in time, scoring goals for fun. Their goalkeeper seems to be managing the club. But what did Spurs do? Spurs let Chelsea win. And so this is what I'm telling you. Spurs are the good human beings of the Premier League. They do not want anybody to feel bad. And they come back to you saying, you know what? We'll let you take this. This is our gift to you. Hope you feel better by the end of the night. I'm telling you, Spurs is that good person in the group of Premier League friends, because there is no other way to explain this, that how often they deliver and how often they pull a Spurs moment like this, because there was no better chance for them to go to Stamford Bridge and come up with a solid result. And they actually made Chelsea look far better than Chelsea are right now. And well, yeah, Spurs pulled a Spurs.
And they face another London rival the next week. I mean, when it comes to rivalry within London, you cannot potentially get a harder schedule than to have to face Chelsea and then Arsenal in the space of 4 odd days. because they are going to be kicking things off with the first game on Saturday. So, Vishal, do a quick preview for us. I mean, will Spurs the friends turn up, or will Spurs the competitive team turn up?
Firstly, I'd like to name this the mediocre club derby, because both Arsenal and Spurs have benchmarked each other against each other. So if they, as long as they finish above each other, they seem to have defined a season as a successful season. So let's call this the mediocre derby for France starting now. I really don't know what to expect from this game, right? Because on paper, Spurs have a better team. Arsenal barely have a defense at this point in time, but Arsenal have been fairly solid and convincing the last 2-3 games, and have been pulling, especially considering United had put so much pressure on them. They actually got back to the fourth spot and have consolidated this weekend as well. So it's one of those confusing fixtures, but Spurs do have the game at home, and it is actually an opportunity for Spurs to go out there and win this game. I still think Spurs might win this game, so I call it a 2-1 to Spurs.
Okay, 2-1 to Spurs should still be a pretty feisty North London derby, and that's
Absolutely.
What we are hoping for.
Yep.
And of course, speaking of derbies, Vishal, we have to preview the last one, which is the Merseyside derby at Goodison. And like you said, it's a question of, I mean, we have already kind of in proxy previewed the game, which is that
yep.
we are saying Klopp has to bring out his A-list playbook here.
Yep.
He surely cannot be taking half measures now.
Yep. Firstly, let's all hope that Everton come as they normally do for a Merseyside derby, which is pointless and just occupy the field. But in case they decide to bring it, there is no better feeling for any Everton fan at this point in time in terms of costing Liverpool the top of the table position. So Everton will come out with that exact motivation, right, to cost Liverpool more than what it looks like. It'll be more than just costing them points, it'll be costing them the top of the table position. So you're right, the slip-ups that Liverpool have had in the recent past have put them in a situation where every game is a do-or-die game, because now you're top of the table and you have a slender one-point lead. So Klopp really cannot afford to get things wrong. Klopp really cannot afford to experiment and tinker over here. Klopp needs to put out his best 11, who will go out there and get a job done. And Klopp needs to understand, just like Pep Guardiola has understood, it's not about winning 3-0, it's not about 4-0, it's about 3 points in whatever means, manner you get it. Go out there and get it. And Everton are not in the best form right now. Everton have been playing pretty poorly for quite some time, and the timing of the fixture couldn't be better, because Liverpool with a good win against Watford as well. But Liverpool need to be clinical. The word that they really need to associate with themselves at this point in time is professional. If they can put in a professional performance, Liverpool will win this game.
Okay, and we hope that they come out with their professional badges on them.
Yep.
We will, of course, be bringing you the aftermath of those derbies and how the title race is going, because as we go towards the end of the title race, the intensity is picking up here at Soccer Sense. We just wanted to let listeners know that we are on Spotify. Spotify is in India now, so if anybody wants to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, you are more than welcome to, if that's where you listen to your podcast. Of course, other than that, we are available on the other podcast platforms, including Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, as well as on audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. You can reach us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. Two big derbies in the weekend coming up, and a reaction episode coming up midweek next week, Vishal. So brace yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
For some potential madness. In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal. See you guys next time.